Will Kristi Noem's new job shield her from her political problems? This is SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Well, state lawmakers are wrapping up work in Pierre for the 2026 legislative session. It was a session marked by debate over property tax relief and data centers. And South Dakotan Kristi Noem has a new role. President Trump relieved Noem of her leadership position as Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. Her new job, Special Envoy for the Shield of the Americas. For today's Political Junkies analysis, we welcome journalists Jonathan Ellis and Patrick Lally. Ellis is co-founder of the Dakota Scout, and Lally is the editor and a reporter for Sioux Falls Live. Patrick Lally joined me in SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. Jonathan Ellis connected with us from SDPB's SDN Communications Studio in Pierre. Characterize this legislative session. What are some key takeaways for you at this point, Jonathan?
Well, it's similar to, I would say, last year, too. I mean, you've got the same crop of lawmakers, but there really is this this divide over sort of economic development in the state. And there are certain factions within the legislature, and reflective of their constituents, I should say. I mean, there's an exhaustion with economic development, the drumbeat of economic development, and there are some who want to say, hey, wait, what about the quality? What about our quality of life? And what about some of these issues that could affect quality of life? I mean, there were people who've come from Dual County to testify against data centers because, they don't want a data center where they hunt. So there really is a divide, I guess I should say, and that's particularly within the Republican Party itself. So amongst those who, want to be much more business-friendly and bring in, business opportunities and new industries, that kind of thing, versus preservationists of maybe South Dakota's agrarian traditional lifestyles.
So do you think, and I want to bring Patrick Lally into the conversation here too, but, like, is there gridlock? Is there a strong sense of, like, here's whose decisions are coming, the choices are being made because this faction, for lack of a better word, of the party is more organized or has the momentum?
This is a residual from the last primary in which a number of what would be viewed as sort of pro-economic development, pro-business Republican incumbents, and what about a dozen of them, were defeated, and that sort of changed the face of the legislature. So they really hold sway right now on a lot of these issues. And so, what will happen in the next primary? Well, that could change the face of the next legislature. But as it stands now, this is what we've got, sort of the product of that primary election.
Yeah. All right. Patrick Lally with Sioux Falls Live. Key takeaways from this legislative session, especially in this area of economic development and what it actually means. How do you balance that with quality of life?
It's the power dynamic, right? I mean, Jonathan talked about the primary, and obviously we're, weeks away from another primary, only this time for governor. And I think that there's this disconnect from reality. I've been talking about the property tax stuff for a long time, but I think that what you've seen on that topic, this kind of handshake deal between Roden and John Hansen, both running for governor, to try and have some sort of flagship property tax reduction, by raising sales taxes. I mean, it's disingenuous to me to say that you're cutting taxes on one hand, cutting property taxes for homeowners, by raising sales taxes, because ultimately you're just raising taxes on someone else to pay that off this constituency over here. And that's a power dynamic. That's trying to block Toby Doden's message, right? And that's politics, right? It's always there. It never goes away. When people say they're playing politics, the answer is always yes, because politics is always behind the curtain. But in this case, I don't know how you justify raising taxes on someone else to pay off homeowners. Now, I get money. Thanks. But, you know, so does John Hansen. He's got a lovely $900,000 house between here and Del Rapids. His property tax is probably going to go way down. But that guy walking down the street out there, his property, his taxes are going up. Mm-hmm. And not only the tax that he's paying today, but you are taxing inflation. Because when that can of pop goes up, you're also paying tax on the additional cost of the pop.
Right.
So you've not just shifted the taxes this one year. You've raised the taxes for all those people going forward.
Right. So did they do enough this session then to address the complaints?
What complaints?
Well, lawmakers are saying people are calling them. We're going to trust that some people are calling them and reaching out to their lawmakers and saying their property taxes have gone high.
They don't show up. They don't show up at school board meetings where these decisions get made. Mm-hmm. They don't show up at they don't challenge their taxes. The number of people at the equalization board goes down.
Let me rephrase the question. Have they done enough to help their political brand
So
that they can say they address property taxes?
Yep.
You think so?
That's what they did.
Ellis,
they addressed, they solidified their political brand.
Jonathan Ellis, what do you think of that?
Well, I'll say this. I think if you thought that the tax was going to stay down at 4.2% after next summer, I think that would be delusional. There were people in this Capitol who have all sorts of designs on that money. And so it was going to go up regardless. And this is just sequestering it for this homeowner tax relief, which, it's certainly a shift. Okay, mm-hmm. For sure. But I think that one way or the other, the guy walking down the street buying the pop, he was going to pay it 4.5% no matter what.
So they raised taxes.
What's that?
So they raised taxes.
Oh, that's fair.
They're going up.
They're going to go up regardless.
Right.
They're going to go up to go down.
And so the point is, what are you going to do with the money? Yeah. You have schools and you have all these other interest groups that have designs on that money. And so it's just which interest is – if you concede it was going to go to 4.5%, and I think that was very likely, now it's a question of which interest group is going to get it. And the debate that they had in the House yesterday about, hey, not all of this should go to homeowners. Maybe as Representative Weisgram tried to get an amendment to say, let's just take – you know, $60 million of this, we'll give that to the homeowners, and then the rest, you know, we can figure out for other causes. Yeah, I mean that was a worthwhile debate. At the end of the day, they decided a majority put it all away for homeowners. Yeah. But I would just say that tax was going to go up one way or the other.
Sure.
So have we avoided what other states are dealing with, which is cutting taxes too far that there's a huge revenue problem? Have we avoided giving the state of South Dakota a revenue problem?
Well, you could argue that the sunset has created a problem itself because, when the governor is proposing a budget that has very little increases for education and other areas, and there's $110 million that was sunsetted in otherwise revenue that the government would have gotten. I mean, you could say that that created a problem. On the other hand, there are other issues too. Like all of a sudden now, Medicaid is the biggest, more expensive than education. That's kind of a historical thing. So there are other areas where, the needs are growing, I guess you would say.
So still no raise for schools or state employees or community providers, or did that inch its way back in?
No, they'll get something.
Right.
It's gone from 1%. It'll be north of 1%, probably closer to 1.5%.
I lost track of that.
By the time this is over with.
Patrick?
I appreciate what Jonathan's saying about it was going to go up because of the sunset.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have voted to extend it. They can do whatever they want. It's like the 3% or inflation law that they passed and then disregard. I mean, they passed the law. They can do whatever they can pass a law to say it doesn't go into effect. It's going to go up to 4.5. Fine, get it off food. Do something.
Wasn't that the intent of the sunset though? Was that it's COVID times and there's federal money and there was specific problems that the sunset was designed so it could be reevaluated. I think I'm with Ellis on this one. That if you thought it was going to stick around, you probably weren't paying.
No, I didn't think it was going to stick around either. But it is disingenuous to say that you're cutting taxes.
Sure. I see what you're saying.
Definitely.
Oh, I want to make sure we're shifting taxes. I want to make sure we talk about the big national news, which is South Dakotan Kristi Noem being relieved of her leadership position at the Department of Homeland Security by President Trump, moving to a new role as special envoy to an organization that we don't know a ton about, Shield of the Americas. Does the new job pause her political woes, shift them in what way? What happens next? Lally, you go first.
If she's smart, she will fade off. She will stay very quiet and just let things play out because she's in a safe place. You know, she hasn't been completely thrown under the bus. Her relationships are intact. She can live to fight another day. I don't know what that means for her long term, but in the near term, she can be fine. Everybody, there's always a chance for redemption for anybody once the sands shift. And I would say that there's no greater survivor in the world, in the world of Trump politics, than Corey Lewandowski. People have been trying to chop his head off within the Trump circle for years. He's still there, and he's still an ally of Kristi Noem's. So never say never, but if she's smart, she'll lie low. Yeah. Lay low? Lie low.
Jonathan, time to keep her head down? What do you think?
Yeah, stay in the tall grass and see how things play out over the course of the... I mean, there's a lot going on, as we all know, in national politics, and laying in the tall grass and just observing is probably not a bad place to be if you're want to be a player in that area,
well,
that arena.
Respectfully, that's not something she's known for.
No.
Well, and that's that's definitely true. You can give advice, but that's I would agree with Patrick.
Right.
But
I mean, I'm thinking back to her college speech at Dakota State. It's like take your foot off the brakes. I mean, that's what she wished she, you know, that was her advice for young people. She's not a pump the brakes kind of person.
She's a maximalist, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say, with this whole advertising campaign, to bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Well, the national media is bringing it back and referencing South Dakota reporting.
She made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or somebody made a lot of money off that decision. Whether, now, the strategy group, which is, we don't need to go into all that. They're saying we only made $200,000. Well, okay, somebody made a lot of money, and they made a lot of money because somebody in Kristi Noem's circle made a decision to do that. So, there's a lot that still could be fleshed out about that probably never will be, but she's made some people a lot of money, and so she will have friends in that world.
It's almost like the Freedom Works Here campaign, huh?
It's exactly like
it's like a carbon copy.
It is a carbon copy. In fact, ProPublica called me before they did that latest piece. Mm-hmm. They were kind enough to give me a link. But it is. I mean, it was a blueprint, and they just did it again. Put a couple zeros on the back of it and called it good.
What's the best case scenario for her? What is her political future now that she's gone slightly awry of the president, which is significant, but to Lally's point, there's some survivability here. What do you think she wants next? Any signaling from, I mean, I'm not asking you just to speculate like what's in her head, but from her actions, is there any signaling as to what her intentions, her political intentions might be?
I think it's too early to say right now. I mean, if she were cut loose totally, would she come back to South Dakota and challenge Mike Rounds in the primary this month? It's getting a little bit late in the day to do that. I just don't think that she's, quote, electable right now on a big stage like that. And so I think, you know, the Lally Ellis advice of just laying low for a while sort of allows you to redeem mm-hmm. your reputation a little bit in some areas.
Yeah, she doesn't get a lot of capital with the powers that be within the Republican power structure in South Dakota right now. the fact that Larry Roden was her lieutenant governor notwithstanding, I'm talking about the money. She has some, but I don't see her being in the good graces of people that can help you out in that sort of right now. Yeah. She's got to let some time pass. You got to go to the desert.
Jonathan Ellis is co-founder of the Dakota Scout. Patrick Lally is editor of Sioux Falls Live. You can find all our Dakota Political Junkies conversations on our website, sdpb.org/inthemoment, or subscribe to the Dakota Political Junkies podcast. That is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.